Do you have a flooring issue you need to fix? It's time to ask the flooring experts as part of our home improvement series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So in the pandemic, we converted a three-season porch to a sunroom slash home office. No surprise there. Perhaps you did the same. And with that came tearing out the tired indoor-outdoor carpeting and installing high-quality padding to add softness underfoot and bringing that added barrier to heat and cool air loss. And then came picking out the carpeting, of course. What is your flooring project? Do you have tips for a type of flooring that served you well? 800-642-1234. Kelly Nipper is president of Floorology, which provides flooring installation and design. It's based in Rothschild near Wausau. Kelly, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Nice to be with you.
Good morning. And spouse Tim Nipper is here, an installation expert. Tim, welcome to you.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Well, good morning. Kelly, I understand that you have something to say about DIY shows. And, you know, I get sucked into these home improvement shows. And I'm of the era of Bob Vila in This Old House back in the day when he was really teaching us how to do something. You know, what would you like to talk about with these DIY home project shows?
Oh, goodness. That's really a topic I could talk about for hours, but I'll try to be brief. But I love Bob Vila, by the way. You know, one thing, I get it. I get why it's so attractive to so many people. I mean, myself included, I love home improvement shows. They're such a great source of entertainment, but they really give people a lot of great design ideas and inspiration, and especially for more technical areas like bathrooms or tile showers. But this is sort of a cautionary message that I give people when it comes to those home improvement TV shows. I would say proceed with caution if you're looking to them for realistic installation timelines, project costs, or installation methods that are used. And I haven't seen every show that's out there, but I've seen enough to know when it comes to flooring and tile that homeowners would do themselves a huge favor if they were to consult with qualified professionals, especially for complex projects, as opposed to gaining insight from these programs. So I've just seen that they're not always reliable or accurate or well-informed. But, you know, one of the people that we look to in our industry is the National Tile Contractors Association, and Chris Walker, who is the former president. He talked about the dangers of these home improvement programs, and I think what he said was right on, because he said it really comes down to qualified labor. Mm. Knowledgeable professionals who really know their stuff. They know the what, hows, and whys of what products to use where and the best way to install them correctly. And especially with some finishes like tile, they're meant to be a permanent installation. So if they're not done correctly, then there's going to be a lot of problems. So
there will
we agree
be issues.
With the company.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Tim, you know, they make it look so fun and easy, mostly fun. But, you know, how close is that to the real installation process and what you go through?
Well, there's a lot to look ahead on as far as planning on each individual installation. There's a lot of resources that, you know, we utilize through the NTCA to accomplish a lot of these installs that are complex, such as curbless showers. Mm-hmm. There's always a height issue.
Yeah. And so it's basically every single project has its own issues, its own challenges. Also, I would assume its own rewards. It must be really rewarding for you, Tim, to finish a project and have it look really good.
Yeah. Yeah. The customer's response at the end of the project is what I look forward to the most. They're always so thrilled and just a big smile on their face.
We have Tim and Kelly Nipper with us for the hour as they work together at a flooring company in Rothschild. We're talking about flooring, and you work for a flooring company. What flooring advice can you share with us? Tell us how the industry is doing in the pandemic. What's your next floor project? 800-642-1234. Diane is joining us from Rice Lake. Hi, Diane. What's your flooring project?
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. We recently moved to a home which has a three-season sunroom. And we would like to make it four-season as much as we can. It has a tile floor, ceramic tile floor, and it looks like it's not built on any nice foundation, kind of built on maybe what used to be an old porch or something out here. Its main issues are the floor, which is cold, and it has single pane windows. We did add a gas fireplace to it.
Okay. But, has that helped?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
A little bit, but the floor is...
You can just feel that heat escape. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's Kelly, you go first there on Diane's situation. I feel like I've walked through the same scenario.
Yeah, you just described going through that. So you're probably a little bit of a mini expert on the subject yourself. But that is a really good question, Diane. One thing that we see a lot, especially in Wisconsin, is we go through extreme weather changes. We've got super cold, dry winters, and then we swing the other way to hot, humid summers. And with those three-season rooms, obviously, you mentioned a lot of areas for heat loss, the single-pane windows, the foundation not being good. So those are all really key areas that need to be addressed prior to making that change to a four-season room, if you're going to do that. So, you know, one of the things that we've done actually with a project last year is the customer did exactly what you were describing, and they took a deck and basically made it into a part of their house, an extension of their home, into like a little living sitting room type of thing. And what we had done for them was, after their contractor completely changed the insulation, the windows, and then have the proper substrate, subfloor, what we did was add in-floor heat, electric in-floor heat. And we actually use an in-floor heat because typically with heat, it likes to go down before it comes up. So we put a pad underneath it. So basically it minimizes heat loss. So it'll go down, but it comes up right away. So it heats up a lot faster and it's much more efficient. And then we put, we installed tile over the top of that. So it's just really key to make sure those areas are really addressed. Otherwise it could be an exercise and a little bit of futility if not addressed. And then, I mean, I don't know if Tim has something he'd like to add to that as well.
Yeah, Tim, jump in here.
I think Kelly covered pretty good. I'm just wondering, is there a problem with the tile that in that room itself? Are the grout lines cracked or?
Well, yes. There are a few tiles that have cracks. For the most part, the tiles are okay. The grout lines are okay. But there are just a few tiles with cracks in them.
Yeah. Dan, do you know whether there's insulation in the walls and in the ceiling?
You know, there is.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question? I'm not sure that I heard what you put on the floor after you put the in-floor heat there.
Yeah, Tim, take it away.
There's pretty much any product now we can install over electric heat, except for 3/4-inch hardwood. There's vinyl plank, tile, engineered wood, even carpet we can install over a heating mat.
Now, is padding, the carpet padding, a decent insulator? Should you look at the type of padding you put down?
There are different pads that have an R value that will help, you know, block the cold.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you need to put down any type of, so the floor doesn't freeze in the winter, or any type of freezing mechanism?
Well.
Or sealer, to seal it.
I'm wondering if is there a basement under this floor, or is it just it was a four season room that's above
No,
ground?
it was built not on a foundation or a basement. It was built, and we're kind of guessing, but it looks like maybe over a deck, an outside deck, something like that. So.
So it's hard to know if there's insulation under there, but finding some way to insulate that would definitely help.
Well, let's take a break here for just a moment with Kelly and Tim Nipper, flooring experts based in Marathon County. Have you ever had a flooring project gone wrong? What happened? How did you end up fixing it? Are you planning to install tile in your home? Which room are you planning to do it in? What type of grout will you use? Join in all aspects of flooring, 800-642-1234. We'll talk more in a minute with the Nippers, Kelly and Tim, here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing flooring issues and installation as part of our Ask a Contractor series on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We had vinyl plank flooring put down in the entryway of our 1960s era home a few years back, carried that flooring into other parts of our basement. Puts up really well with all the muddy, wet boots, whatever else, gets tracked in, just wipe up and go. I've been pretty happy how it's held up. Have you installed new flooring in a basement? What did you find when you took up the flooring that was there? Did you chisel out layers upon layers of old tile? 800-642-1234. Kelly and Tim Nipper are with a flooring company in central Wisconsin. They're with us for the hour. Let's go to Julie now in Bayfield. Hi, Julie. What's your situation with wood flooring?
Hi. So my husband and I are in a now 4.5 year renovation of our historic home in Bayfield. And we've touched almost every surface. We've now moved on to the second floor. We installed our own flooring on the first floor that went really well. But when we got to the second floor, we're trying to figure out what to do. There is a hump in the floor where there's a header underneath in the landing area when you get to the top of the stairs. Because of our, we changed the stairway. We totally revamped that. So we don't really know how to deal with that hump. Do we take off the old wood flooring that's there, somehow level it out, put new subflooring down before we install the wood floors? I don't know if this is a project for us or something to hire out.
Oh, dear. Kelly? I don't know. Tim, who wants to take a crack at this one?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Julie, I give you credit because you said your project's been going on for 4.5 years, and I don't know how you're surviving without a marriage and family therapist involved. But because I just know remodeling and renovations, I mean, your whole house is tore up. It's very stressful on homeowners. So I really do. It's not to be taken on lightly. but with the hump in the floor, I'll probably refer to Tim some more on that. But I mean, this to me is definitely a hire an expert situation, because it might even involve hiring a general contractor, because that's something you can't really just willy-nilly proceed ahead without addressing that, especially if you're going to all this trouble of renovating. You definitely want to get that addressed. Mm-hmm. And that could involve even, some engineering help a little bit. It just depends. Without not knowing the situation in detail, I mean, we can't really talk about that. But I would say definitely consult an expert, and it'll be worth your money and time to just get that addressed first before you proceed with anything else.
Tim, have you seen this type of situation before?
Yes, quite often, but I don't know how severe the hump is in the floor. A lot of times we can take a planer or a floor sander and, sand that off and get it pretty well to, level out the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible to take up the subfloor, maybe, plane down the joists at all, or, and then reinstall new subfloor, without really knowing it's, you know.
Julie, do you have any, do you know what that subfloor is like, what its condition is?
Well, I know that the hump was created because we had moved the staircase. So that hump is where the header is underneath. Mm-hmm. And we had some, the floor was uneven because we had a chimney that was resting on a cabinet,
which
is great, that our contractor, who we actually hired for that work, figured out. So I believe that the hump is a result of the re-leveling that happened for the downstairs. So as far as, you know, what's underneath it, I believe it's just, you know, subfloor that our contractor would have put in. I'm not sure.
Well, for this historic home, Julie, what type of flooring are you ultimately putting in?
We, well, downstairs, we ended up getting wood flooring that was salvaged from the bottom of Lake Superior, and it's beautiful. But we ended up buying oak, hardwood oak flooring for the upstairs, just because we didn't have enough to bring from the downstairs. So it's rather wide plank. I think it's about 4 inches wide. Wood oak flooring.
Julie, good luck. Thank you so much. Kelly, any insights there on hardwood oak flooring and when you're looking at particular types of wood flooring?
Definitely. With Julie, because she mentioned that she got a wider plank of about 4 inches wide, and wood likes to move, especially in the Wisconsin climate that we live in. Mm-hmm. It will expand and contract. I mean, I grew up in a log cabin with a wood stove, and I remember in the winter I would sweep the dust and dirt down between the cracks that were created in the flooring. And then the summer it would expand again because we didn't have air conditioning. It was very humid, and it would almost buckle up on the sides. So that's what wood likes to do. It loves to move. So when people put a lot of hardwood flooring, especially in their home, it's really important to maintain relative humidity in the home, because that'll really help the hardwood to maintain a constant state. And then also, and I'm sure Julie knows this too, because she's already installed some in the lower level, but, you know, making sure that when you bring the hardwood home, that you give it enough time to acclimate to the conditions that you're in. So that really means the wood moisture in the wood itself needs to get to the same moisture level as the home, so that it's going to prevent later issues. For example, if you deliver your wood one day and you install it that same day or the next day and it hasn't acclimated, now maybe in a couple of days, all of a sudden it'll expand because you turned your air conditioner on or off, you know, one or the other. And then all of a sudden you've got this beautiful brand new flooring that has immediately going to be damaged. So
shifted. There's
a lot of things to keep in mind when it comes to solid hardwood, but it's a beautiful product. And I mean, she got reclaimed wood out of Lake Superior. That's amazing. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's beautiful, but the oak is nice because it's very popular now. We're seeing a swing back toward the oak finishes, and there's a lot of possibilities for staining and trying to get it customized to look more like maybe the flooring they have downstairs as well.
Yeah. Julie, thanks. Good luck. Max now in Reedsburg. Hi, Max.
Hey there.
Hi. What is your flooring situation in your office?
Yeah. So I recently tore up the carpeting from my office, and underneath it was tile. And on top of the tile was a certain glue. Well, I talked to our maintenance engineer, and he said you need to get that tested for asbestos. Well, lo and behold, the glue had asbestos in it. So we were both kind of concerned. Obviously, I didn't want to breathe asbestos in. So just kind of curious, is that something that you have to scrape up, or do you have to demo the whole thing, or like just like a vapor barrier?
Tim, what can you tell us?
Well, you definitely do not want to scrape any asbestos flooring adhesives. The best thing to do is to call an expert. There's asbestos guys out there that do the cleanup. You need special equipment, ventilators, to take care of the asbestos, because like you said, you don't want to be breathing that in. And that's pretty much the only time that asbestos in the flooring will harm you is when you scrape it and sand it and get it airborne.
And you can't just carpet right back over that. You would need to get that up before you go to the next step.
Well, if you don't sand it, scrape it, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can install new flooring over it.
Okay. We're talking with Tim and Kelly Nipper about flooring projects and how-to tips. You can join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking with the flooring experts as part of our Ask a Contractor series on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our floating wood floors, they creak so much when you walk on them every step. Do you have that issue? The floorboards have shifted, expanded after a previous owner's reno of the existing wood floors. Ugh. Flooring experts Tim and Kelly Nipper, they're based in Marathon County, are tackling your questions throughout the hour, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Larry now in La Crosse. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind about flooring?
Well, I am a piano technician, and I just want to warn people about underfloor heating because that constant movement of warm air up to the piano can dry out the piano and cause it to fail or cause the tunings to be unstable.
Ah, and you've seen that before where someone had heated floors and that caused instability in the piano?
Yes.
Yeah. Kelly, have you seen that situation?
We have not. And actually, that is a really good point, Larry. I'm glad you brought that up. Typically, when we're doing electric in-floor heating, what we try to do is actually in knowing what is going to go where in the home, we can actually plan. So in a situation like that, or somebody has a piano and it's going to be placed in that area, we would actually just run the heating wire away from that particular area, because usually no one's walking under the piano anyway. So mm-hmm. the purpose of the heating is to keep your floor, your feet warm, and then to let that heat emanate up and heat the rest of your home. So that is a really, really good point, though, is communicating with your flooring contractor beforehand so that they can make the necessary adjustments to prevent a major issue like that.
Yeah, Larry, thank you for that advice. Tim, how do you measure a room properly to lay down the exact amount of flooring that you need without a lot of waste?
Well, that's a good question. Every room is, you know, different, depending on the flooring that we're putting in there, you know, length times width, and we usually add 10%
okay.
to that.
Uh-huh.
And it depends on, so if you're using tile, a larger tile, you know, at a, with a pattern, you know, we might use, you know, 12 to 15% extra, you know, to allow for waste, mm-hmm. such as a herringbone pattern. I know that takes up a lot of waste.
Yeah, yeah. So, and what if a room is really irregular and you've got a, you know, kind of a lot of juddins here and there? How do you go about accommodating that?
Well, yeah, just take the squarest measurement of the room.
Gotcha.
Add all the little, you know, if there's closets or, you know,
uh-huh.
hallways or, you know, bump outs, just add those all together and, you know, add a, you know, usually about a 10% waste is a good percentage to stick by.
And another thing that's, I know, happened at our house is in the carpeting where at the threshold, the carpeting is pulled away from the threshold. And so carpeting's in good condition, but it just won't stay under that piece at the threshold. What should we do?
Pull it back, see if there's tack strip under there and if it's still, you know, adhered.
Uh-huh.
And just restretch it back onto the tack strip is usually it would take.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of an easy fix. Let's go to Nancy now in Grafton. Nancy, hi.
Hi. I live in a very, very old schoolhouse. It used to be a schoolhouse years ago, and it had like three floors practically. But all the floors are all wood, except in the kitchen. Years ago, they went and put a vinyl flooring in here. Well, my son checked it all out, and he went down and got a little patch out. And sure as heck, that's all wood floor here in the kitchen, too. So what I would like is to have everything back down to the wood floor. But what do you use to take that vinyl stuff or that sticky stuff off of the wood floor?
There's an adhesive remover. That might work. Usually when it comes to tearing that out, when they install that, there's usually a lot of staples that go into the wood floor through the quarter inch subfloor that the vinyl is on. It's very difficult to get that, the wood floor to look good again because of all those staples and adhesive that goes into installing vinyl.
Yeah, so it's certainly quite the project. But, Kelly, is there a way you can really condition those floors and then seal them up again?
That is the beauty of hardwood. Solid hardwood floors is they can be refinished. And in a case like that, if there's a lot of staple holes and issues with the appearance compared to the rest of the flooring, it can be refinished, but keep in mind, where do you stop? Because a lot of times when you've got something that's been covered up and then something next to it that's not been covered up, sun from the windows coming in can actually darken the rest of the wood. So it almost becomes, even if you're able to restore the other side, you could have a color variation between the two where they meet up. So then it can become a much bigger project where now you might need to refinish the entire floor and then restain it so that they're all going to blend really nicely. But again, this is not sort of a do-it-yourself project because refinishing is a big project. You have to clear out everything. There's a lot of dust, and then when it comes time to installing the varnish or finish, it's very toxic, so you don't want to be home when they're doing that. So it's definitely a pretty sizable undertaking.
Yeah. Kelly, the EPA says laminate flooring products can emit different levels of formaldehyde. Is this true for other types of flooring, and what should homeowners understand about emissions?
That is a really good question because we're seeing this a lot more with all of these new products to the market. And when I say new products to the market, I'm talking about most of the vinyl products that are so popular right now. They have a finish on them and they could be very toxic. And some are more stringent than others. So for our store, we try to recommend products that do not have those toxic finishes impregnated inside of them. I mean, I think especially if you have children and you think about your baby crawling around on the floor, do you want them having their face right over the top of something toxic? So we don't. And then that's why in those cases, you want to really make sure that you do ask those probing questions about what type of finish is on this product. Are there toxins? Are there these different emissions coming out? Or, maybe just go with tile. And that's the beauty of tile products is they are not at all harmful. They're really actually great for health and hygiene. So, something that it's easier to clean. There's a lot of really fantastic benefits to that. Like there's no plastics. There's no PVC. And like you were saying, PVC contains toxins that are very concerning among health experts. And a lot of this information is not well known to people. So they might just go over to their local big box store and pick up some luxury vinyl tile or luxury vinyl planking, not knowing that that very product is riddled with toxins. So it's just a matter of really making sure that you ask questions, you look into it. And I mean, we're a small family dealer of flooring and tile. We are very knowledgeable about this stuff. We take time to learn about it. So when people come into our showroom, we can really educate them and understand and help them understand that, you know, if you can go this route if it's not a big deal, or you can go this route if it is a big deal. So I'm just a big believer in going to those more small flooring and tile dealers, because typically, like us, they're going to help arm you better with what you need to know to make those decisions.
We're talking with Kelly Nipper, and president of a flooring company near Wausau. Tim Nipper as well works for the same company installing flooring. Taking your questions, 800-642-1234. Mike is joining us from Illinois. Mike, hi.
Hi, I have a question. I have 100-year-old one-inch slat wood floors that creak like crazy. I was wondering what I can do about all that creaking.
Beautiful floors, though. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly, Tim, what would you suggest?
Really, without pulling it all out and reinstalling it and gluing it down to the subfloor, I don't know that there's anything you can do about that.
I can see the underneath side of the floor in the basement, so I was hoping there may be something.
Mike, you're cutting in and out, but Mike could see the subfloor in the basement and is wondering, is there anything you can do from that vantage point, Tim?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Sorry. I wish there was a better explanation, but, you know, short of pulling it out, reinstalling it, and gluing it down.
And what is, Tim, what is the difference between gluing down a new floor versus a floating floor? And what are some things you should take into consideration there?
How level the subfloor is. For us, we always glue and staple the wood down. Mm-hmm. It's just more of a, you know, foolproof installation where, you know, because we don't want customers to have problems, you know, 10 or 15 years down the road. We're looking at the big picture, you know, and the longevity of the installation. That's why we, you know, we glue all the tongues and staple the floors in. So we don't even float them in unless it's a vinyl product.
Okay.
And then,
yeah. Christina now in Glenwood City is with us. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. I have two questions. The first is, since you were talking about off-gassing, I'm wondering if laminate or floating floors off-gas that way, those toxins?
Kelly?
That's my first question.
Okay.
And then the other, I'll just quickly ask it.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to repair in-floor heat? And what advice do you have for doing this? I have tile floor in my bathroom.
All right. Okay. Kelly, go ahead.
Well, good questions, Christine. I'll take the first one, excuse me, about laminates and vinyls. And yes, the answer is a lot of times they do contain in the finish toxic or compounds and gases, off gases. So, but what you can look for when you're shopping is a lot of manufacturers now, they specifically state no VOCs, no phthalates, no whatever it is. So if you go and look for those specifics when you're shopping for flooring, then you will be better armed to, like I said, not get any of those toxic chemicals that would be installed. Because there are a lot of products out there now that they are very conscientious about that. And they're all about health, being green, non-toxic, renewable. And so they're out there. You just have to make sure you specifically try to seek them out.
Do you find, Kelly, that the disclosures from these companies that make these flooring products, has that disclosure become more uniform and more customer friendly? Because I noticed that on some flooring samples, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of different rating systems.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hate to say it, but I think the industry's, you know, for example, in the tile industry, we do have a rating system. And if you look for those basically stamp of approval, then you know those products meet industry or exceed industry standards. But with the other like planks and hardwoods, they don't always have that. Mm-hmm. So it's really, that's where I say sometimes, you know, you really are better off instead of going, I'm not anti big box stores, but I think the education level of employees is much different than when you work with a small dealer who works with this stuff day in and day out. They've asked these questions of the manufacturers. They have the inside information. So they're going to be able to really guide you to those products that they know and are comfortable suggesting as being free of those things. Because sometimes the labels, they can not necessarily be accurate or true.
Or they can, you know, be misleading as to what you think that they mean. Christina had question number two there, Tim. Can you take that fixing in-floor heating in the bathroom? Was that, is it the bathroom, Christina?
Yes, it is. It's a tile floor.
And
you have electric? Is it electric heating in there, you said?
Heat, and it's running off of geothermal.
Oh, it's on geothermal?
Right, yes. Yes, geothermal.
And what's the problem specifically?
Well, the rest of the floor heats throughout the building, but in the bathroom, it's cold. So something is not working.
Does the bathroom have its own thermostat?
No, I think it's part of the living area. It's actually in an equestrian center. It does not have a separate thermostat.
Yeah, I'm not a geothermal expert. If it was an electric floor, I could give you some ideas. But as far as a geothermal, there must be a zone that's not circulating in that area.
I wonder if you'd have to take it up to see exactly what's going on.
What's really cool, there's some heat cameras now. You can actually, so you don't, before tearing anything out, you can take the heat camera and see where the heat stops. And that can sometimes, it's a kind of a diagnostic tool that can be used before having to tear things out to see, maybe they can see that there's something's blocked or what have you, so that maybe you don't have to tear out the whole flooring. Maybe you're just tearing out a few tiles and taking care of that one specific issue. But yeah, like Tim said, we don't really work in the geothermal heating area. So it's really, that's something that you'd have to find a specialist for.
We have Kelly and Tim Nipper of Rothschild. They work in the flooring industry, tackling your questions about all aspects of flooring. Are you measuring out a flooring project? Do you have an idea of what materials you want to use? Are you trying to hire an installer or doing it yourself? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I get sucked into those home reno shows as they pull up the grungy old carpeting and find absolute treasure. Gorgeous, original hardwood floors, completely unblemished, or maybe, you know, requiring just a sand and seal. It gets me every time. Did this happen to you when you pulled up flooring? What was that like to see and smell the original hardwoods of an old home? Still time, 800-642-1234. Kelly and Tim Nipper, they're flooring experts based in Wisconsin, and they're here for about 5 more minutes. Let's go to Amber now in Brookfield. Amber, you're considering new flooring, new vinyl floors.
Actually, I don't know what kind of floor, that's why I was calling. So we moved into our house about 5 years ago. And in the kitchen, they had this vinyl, and it wasn't the best looking, but we're like, okay, but it's so grimy, and no matter how much we scrub it, it just never looks clean. So we want to redo the floors, but we have two young boys, so I'm like, I don't know what's spill-proof and drop-proof and that we can still get clean at the end of the day. So I was just wondering your thoughts on.
Kelly, what would you suggest? Floor? Yeah.
Hi, Amber. Great question. So it sounds like you have sheet vinyl. Is that right?
Yeah. How did you know? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't know. Wild guess. Been in this industry for a little while. You know, with families with kids, I personally like to recommend luxury vinyl tile or vinyl plank. And the reason I like it is because assuming your flooring is relatively flat that you have, you could actually keep your sheet vinyl intact and install it right over the top of it. And the nice thing is they make some thicker products now. They're called a rigid core. And so what that means is it's not that super thin vinyl, but it's thicker. And by being rigid, if you did have a little bit of like dips in the flooring or imperfections, it really hides it a lot easier. And they look fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. you can really make your whole house look brand new by just popping in some luxury vinyl. And then I know we talked about like the toxins, just stay away from the ones that have that, obviously, with kids. And then being able to be waterproof, they're fantastic. I would just say, you know, you get what you pay for. And if you do have kids, right. I would say splurge for something a little bit more expensive here, because they're going to be better scratch resistance, better dent resistance, all of those things that usually people start to hate about their vinyl because they went and got something really cheap. So that would be my recommendation for your family.
And I would just echo that. I've got the luxury vinyl plank that was put in at the entryway. And, you know, all that dust and dirt and mud and water in the winter that we track in, it's held up beautifully.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm sure the vinyl now is much better. This has probably been in the house for 30 years, so
yeah.
Thank the you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Sorry, Amber, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the difference being that was installed in one giant sheet. The nice thing about the planks, meaning it looks more like a wood shape versus the tile, it looks more like a tile. Either is a great option. But let's say something happened and, you know, there was an accident and you dropped your kitchen knife just at the right place and it gouged your beautiful flooring. The nice thing is you can pull that plank out and replace it. So it's not the end of the world. So, you know, it's a really, really great versatile product, especially for people with families and active lifestyles.
Amber, thanks. Good luck. Carl now in Eagle River. Carl, just a few moments. Go ahead.
Yes, we bought a 100-year-old farmhouse, removed the ugly gold carpeting, and...
Oh, and he just dropped, unfortunately. He said that they found this gorgeous flooring underneath, Kelly, and there was moisture and the flooring buckled. I guess, Tim, any suggestions there?
Pull out. Is it the subfloor that buckled?
It was actually the flooring itself, found, I think, was buckling there once they had removed the carpeting.
I don't know if it's possible to replace with the same product, or if it's a hardwood floor, if it can be refinished, sanded down.
Just have to look into those. Look into those options. Well, thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate.
Kelly and Tim Nipper are with the company Floralogy, with design and installation services in central and northern Wisconsin. Don't miss out. Any tip or trick on our home improvement series, find it all at WPR.org/contractor. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.